You were digging your trench.
We called it a sluice trench. So you could lay all the way in it. Mm-hmm. Well, in a foxhole, you dig down and you can stand up. And your waist and head is above the ground, but this you just stretch out just enough that you're under the ground, so mm-hmm. the concussion would go over you. Now, I even dug my hole there, and by that time it was night, and other fellows were digging in too. And after a while, I was just about to fall asleep, and I heard this shell coming from way back, and we knew it was coming right in on it. Mm-hmm. So I was laying on my left side like this, mm-hmm. and that shell hit a tree right above me. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, tree burst, there's no protection from that unless mm-hmm. there's some shelter over your head. Mm-hmm. And my arm went numb for a moment, mm-hmm. and when I shook my arm, it was all right, and there was no pain and that. Mm-hmm. So I went off to sleep. And the next morning, when I got out of my hole there, some of the fellows said, "Tia, what in the world happened to you?" And I said, "I don't know." And I looked down at my uniform jacket, and it was just ripped all to pieces. You just couldn't believe how that piece of shrapnel had gone round and round and ripped up my... And it even had cut my underwear some, but didn't touch me. I had one little red mark right there, where I just wondered where it went numb. It was just a little red mark, no blood or anything. Huh. And I almost fainted. I think I had one of those candy bars, one of those survival candy bars in my pocket. He cut that into me.
Oh my gosh.
But it didn't hit the skin.
That is amazing.
Yeah, only something. And
that was probably several pieces of shrapnel.
Yeah.
Not just one.
Yeah, that's true. Because it was just ripped all to pieces. So I went back to the aid station there, and he looked and said, "Go on, homie." Said, "You mean that's all you got here, this little red streak right there?" He said, "Well, now, I can't give you a Purple Heart for that because you didn't get any blood." He said, "Now, take your trench knife and cut it. Get some blood and I'll give you a Purple Heart." I said, "No, I don't want a Purple Heart that bad. I'm thankful. That's all I did here." Oh, you got a good laugh for that. Went to the company man and telling him all what happened, you know, he was all big-eyed, just, "God, man, how in the world, and you didn't get hit." And he wouldn't give me a jacket, said, "No, I'm going to give you a jacket right now." And when any of the new replacements come up, he'd call me over there, and he'd want the new recruit for the replacement to look and see how close you can get it and not get it. Mm-hmm. So he used me as a propaganda. Yeah, an example. So you can really get it and then still not get hurt. Uh-huh. It was just unbelievable. But then after about 2 weeks, he gave me a new jacket. But let me tell you, I'll never forget that. That was something. It was hard for anybody around me to believe it. Because two men were killed in concussion. Yeah. Because we checked them out the next morning, and they got in there late, and they were getting ready to dig the hole, but it was too late. And nothing hit them except there was no cut or anything. Only it was just a concussion from that shell. Because that was a big shell, because it come from way, way back. Anyway, and then, not only that, all of a sudden, when they got out the hole and saw all that, and then we were standing around talking, and we got a volley of bullets that were hitting the trees all around us. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, that's the sound when a bullet hits the tree.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was a volley. Uh-huh. The Germans were right up the same creek we were, creek bed we were in. Mm-hmm. But apparently we didn't know it. They slept all night, but they emptied their rifles, I guess, at us and then left. Mm-hmm. But they just hit the trees because it was still down in the gully there. Mm-hmm. And they moved on out. And then later on that morning, when these Piper Cubs, you know, these Piper Cubs, this small plane, were artillery observers. And you don't hear much about them, but they were brave fellows. And anything would bring those things down. But anyway, we spotted a bunch of germs over the hive standing around, and I was with the radio man, and he called that scout in the Cub plane, and it was interesting to hear him talk. He could see him, so he called for artillery fire and running away, and anyway, they scattered anyway. But that was right interesting, being right there, and the radio man calling to that Piper Cub pilot, and then he called for artillery. It was really interesting.
Now, you know something you used to tell me when I was a kid, and I don't know if you remember this story or not, but you told me... One of the stories you told me was that the night or the day that Ellen Raper died, Mama's mother, that you were in a foxhole or a bunker or something, and you heard somebody call your name. And it's
John. And who, exactly, I don't know.
Whose voice was it? Was it Mama's or was it Ellen's voice?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I know.
But and you didn't know what it was?
John. Uh-huh. Yeah, I told all about that.
Isn't that something? And that was the day that she died?
Yeah. Best I could figure.
Isn't that something?
It is,
And how did you find out she had died? Did you get a letter?
Yeah.
Some kind of letter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you and mother write a lot of letters back to
her? Yeah. I guess at least once a week, We call it D-mail.
Yeah.
I don't know what ever happened to those letters. I don't know.
It would have been nice to have all those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you went in as a private.
Yeah.
Private first class, is that what
just
you were?
Private and then private first class.
Private first class.
Yeah.
And then didn't you become a
corporal when I had to be mail clerk?
Oh, okay, so that was at the end of the war.
The end of the
war. You got promoted to corporal. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, because, I was satisfied. Being a runner.
Did you get more pay for it?
Well, a couple of dollars, not much. Yeah, and that's where I made friends with Ralph when Ralph Dumford came down. He and I bunked together there at Hershaw in camp.
Okay.
He looked after the concession stand, and I looked after the mail. Okay. But I didn't know him during the war itself.
Uh-huh.
I met him after the war.
Well, who were your best friends during the war in your company that you...
Well, I would say a boy named, first name Joe, he was really my best friend. We went out together to gather eggs. We were going to Germany, you could eat off the land.
Uh-huh.
And we just collected eggs when we could.
Uh-huh.
And that night we had one man that would cook them.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd all dive in. That was the best eggs ever were.
Do you remember his last name, Joe?
I can't. I've got a picture of him though in my book.
Uh-huh.
And then Louis, of course.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there's several more. Oh, I did leave out that about when we were in Hershaw doing the occupation duty. I walked in the orderly room one day and a pow! One of the officers had his .45 playing with it, a regular cleaning, and it went off.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Tim, where did that bullet go? I said, I don't know where it went. And I moved my foot, and the bullet had went under my foot. It was a wooden floor over cement.
Uh-huh.
That bullet had one side of my foot went into the wood, hit the cement, and ricocheted on the other side of my foot without touching me.
You had some close calls.
Oh, man,
I mean, that's a close call. And
I'd have lost a foot. 145,
But I mean, think about that, and then the bomb exploded in the tree above you and and then the time you walked up on the machine gun, the German machine gun, right up to your chest. I mean, think of all the times that
God and the angels were walking with you.
You weren't kidding.
But anyway, that lieutenant, he was my friend from then on. He could have got the court martial for that.
Yeah.
But I never said a word about it. And he, anytime he got any extra rations or cigarettes more, John, come in. We were buddies. Talking about another escape. The whole division was on the move, and everything was pulling off in fields.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it was all kinds of equipment.
Uh-huh.
And right at twilight, yeah, the Germans always about twilight would send a plane. Mm-hmm. A reconnaissance plane to see what he could see. We call him Bed Check Charlie. You've heard of that. Bed Check Charlie, right. I said, all that Bed Check Charlie, folks, we're going to get it tonight, because all that equipment was all lined up in that field.
Mm-hmm.
And I dug in near a house, about maybe 30 yards from the house. I dug my hole to go to bed, and I said, well, might as well try to get some sleep, because he's going to bring some bundles back tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So in a couple hours, here they come, hear the roar of the motors.
Mm-hmm.
And they drop flares, you know, these flares, mm-hmm. and parachutes that almost stand still.
Uh-huh.
And it just brightened as bright as day.
Right.
Bright as day.
Uh-huh.
And one of the soldiers run by me. I said, get on the ground, honey. If anything moving, they can see us from up there.
Mm-hmm.
They can see anything moving.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be just as dead quiet as you can. But anyway, they start dropping those bombs
mm-hmm.
all around us. And, it seemed like hours, you know, but of course it didn't last very long. But anyway, I went on to sleep because nothing bothered me. It didn't get close, no. But when I got up the next morning and looked at this house over there, there was, I guess it was one of these 1,000-pound bombs.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was as high as a house and that big around,
mm-hmm.
stuck in the ground.
Oh my gosh!
And that much of it was above ground. I don't know how much it was in the ground.
And
it didn't go off.
Oh my gosh.
It's a dud.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh my gosh, they would never found me.
Uh-huh.
If that thing had gone off,
it
would have been buried.
And you were in the house?
No, I was in. I was outside about 30 feet from it.
Uh-huh.
I dug my hole.
Mm-hmm.
But that wouldn't have mattered because that thing had made a heck of a hole. You know,
that's
the biggest bomb I've ever seen in my life. Sticking right straight up like that.
He's lucky he didn't go back.
It didn't go off. But they didn't do much damage.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, another instant, about the first or second day in combat there, we stopped beside some German artillery pieces,
mm-hmm.
these old 88 long, 88 shells, about that long, about that big round,
mm-hmm.
stacked up in these racks. And I was in right within 4 or 5 feet of some of those shells. And here comes three mortars,
mm-hmm.
phosphorus mortars, which is supposed to set things on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Land about 10 feet from where I was.
Mm.
They were trying to hit that artillery, mm-hmm. which they saw us.
Yeah.
And they were trying to hit that artillery, and they came that close.
Mm.
Three of those phosphorus mortars mm-hmm. filled with almost arm reach.
They didn't hit it?
No. Mm-mm. So they just fuzzed and went out.
Just about made you wet your pants, though,
yeah.
Didn't it?
Well, I don't know. you're tight, I'll tell you that. But a lot of narrow escapes.
Just wasn't your time.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't my time to go, sure right.
Do you remember the Neighbors man up in Roanoke, Virginia? What was his first
Frank, name? I believe.
Frank
Neighbors. Neighbors.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And he was your friend through the war, just at the end of the war?
No, just at Herschel.
At Herschel.
Yeah.
But who was it came to see us?
That was Ross Dunford.
Dunford.
Well, that was after you were born.
Yeah, I
remember.
Oh, yeah, because some of the kids were your age.
Yeah.
Yankees.
Yeah.
And so I only met him during the occupation.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And he and I had a room in the barracks, just he and I.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked after the concession stand.
Well, how did they handle money, Dad? Like, I mean, you got paid as a soldier, right?
Well, during the war, you just signed a slip of paper.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get any money.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want it.
Yeah.
I just signed for it.
Uh-huh.
And they just saved it. A lot of it went home. Uh-huh. It went home, I think.
They would automatically mail it home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That way it would come to you and you just go put it in the bank, uh-huh, or you split it if you needed it.
But then occupation, I took it.
Mm-hmm.
Just
so you could have some spending.
But not much.
Yeah.
Well, I got $10, a $10 check that the government sent me for you when you went overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I got that $10 every month.
$10 a month.
But then you got, was it 50?
Fine.
Then you get about 50?
50, and then it went to 60, mm-hmm, when I got the $10.
A month?
A month. You wouldn't hardly buy me enough drinks.
No.
Coca-Cola.
Well, you know, you were sacrificing for your country.
That's right.
And there was no way in the world they could mm-hmm pay you any big sum of money when it was taking so much for equipment.
Oh, yeah.
It was just fortunate. It was feeding England, and it was just about feeding England.
Right.
And that's why they were so chintzy about it on that ship. You know, I told you I got seasick.
Yeah, well, you couldn't even touch anyway, so it didn't matter.
Well, this was going over. It was pretty calm, but I still got sick for a little while. I had to dump all that food there, and
yeah,
I also got my name, and
I
had to work on
the freezer thing.
Ship,
yeah.
Yeah. In detail.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I got a lot of teasing Dr. Clark every time he saw it. An American soldier with a French girl,
mm-hmm,
he cut that article out, and I was operating room supervisor. When I got to work the next morning, it would be on my desk.
I think that's terrible, isn't it? He should have been put in prison for treason.
But he did that, and the girls laughed about it. I said, well, you know, it really isn't funny.
No, it's not funny. But it sounds like Deb was kind of shy and quiet.
Well, I'll tell you, the only women I had anything to do with was in her show. That's what the war was over with, you know, that was Marta.
Mm-hmm. Her family.
Her family.
They sort of took care
going
of
going through France, the instrument didn't have much chance to associate with, mm-hmm, within the people. Mm-hmm. In fact, we weren't supposed to, but we couldn't confiscate mm-hmm any houses in France to mm-hmm stay in if you had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
We went in the woods and slept.
Right.
Because we were guests.
Sure, right.
But when we got in Germany, we could confiscate a house to stay in,
mm-hmm,
if we could,
mm-hmm,
but we had to make arrangements for that family to stay with a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
We had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't just walk in and run them out in
right
the street. We mm-hmm couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I think the first Americans, the combat troops and all, were great ambassadors.
Yeah, right. Did you ever get sick over there? Like a real bad cold? Cold? Or
no, never.
You
never
know, sick in your stomach?
One time, pedal back for a break. See, every once in a while you go and you get a break.
Mm-hmm.
Two battalions would be up and one on break,
mm-hmm,
maybe a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a toothache and I told the first sergeant, I really need to see a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
I got a bad toothache. He said, well, catch one of these trucks that's passing by here and going back to battalion and see the dentist.
Mm-hmm.
Is that easier? Mm-hmm. So I found one of the trucks going back, mm-hmm, and I saw the tent there, dentist. And so I said, I'll get out right here. And lucky the dentist was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walked in and said, I got a toothache. He yanked the toothache.
He pulled the tooth.
Yeah, and I got back on another truck and went back.
Oh, did he give you some Novocaine?
No, you ain't going.
Oh, my God.
Well, they didn't believe in filling teeth, so they put them out.
They're not some.
Yeah, it sure is. That's how easy it was. I might think of something else for right now.
Well, that's okay. If you think of something else, we'll get it later.
Yeah.
But I think we've got about 3 hours worth of...
Yeah.
Dad, you know that Boxer has all those pictures in it at home,
mm-hmm,
that he took during the war. That might recall some things you'd want to tell him.
Also, you don't have any letters that Dad sent to you from the war, the letters he mailed you?
No, I don't think so. And I only got one, and part of it was cut out. He said yesterday I was.
Oh, they censored it.
Yeah, everything he wrote there.
And I saw it.
Yeah, and he said, well, heck, he didn't know where you were anyway.
Yeah.
Somewhere in France, somewhere in Germany, that's about all you knew anyway. Because they didn't tell you anything hard. Being a runner, you really knew more about what was going on than the average.
Why did they take you from being a machine gun and make you a runner?
I don't know.
Did they think you were real fast or something?
I did not know. I made real good friends with the lieutenant. My lieutenant, he was reminded me so much of Uncle, the one that lived in Ashburn.
Uncle Leonard.
Uncle Leonard. Mm-hmm. He was built just the same, looked just like Uncle Leonard. And he was the one that did it. I guess he just... it was more dangerous on a machine gun.
No kidding.
Than being a runner.
Yeah, particularly all that smoke going out.
Yeah, that's right. That is true. Well, yeah, that German gun is called a burp gun.
Yeah.
And it just like that too.
Where do you know?
I used to. One day. We were going up the road there, and the German tank began to shoot at us, and you know, direct, you know, the shell was going over. And you could hear them slamming the shell in the gun. And we were that close to it.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was talking to Harry Elton about it, and I said, it would go bang, boom! He said, yeah, that was an 88, exactly. Pop, zick, boom!
They were fast at it, weren't they?
Yeah. They could slam it in there, bang, zip, boom!
Wow.
That 88 was a fast thing.
Yeah. Now, and finally, you were in the 90th Division. What company? What's the rest of it? If you can narrow it down for me.
359th Infantry.
It was the first battalion. Let's see, we got three regiments. And I think I was broke down in two battalions, and then each battalion had four companies, three rifles and one heavy weapon.
And so you were what? Company
D.
D.
First Battalion. 359th Regiment.
Okay.
Of the 90th Division.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I need to know. Yeah. Get us on. Want to stop?
Yeah.